The first reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. And as the screens say, that's on page 1061. That's Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that these prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going to go further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Our next reading is Acts, chapter 18, verses 24 to 28. This is on page 1115. So Acts 18, 24 to 28. "Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our ears to hear your voice, leading us into all you have for us. Align our hearts with yours and prepare us to understand where you would have us go and what you would have us do. Amen. I love a good story, do you? Who likes reading books? There's a lovely story about an ancient village in a faraway land. When they grew old, every elderly person was asked to write down a life lesson they had learned. This was written on a scroll, which was kept in a hut in the centre of the village. Once a year, the elders would gather everyone together at the hut, young and old. The scroll was opened and read. There was so much they could learn together. They called that hut the Wisdom House. Can you imagine everyone in the community listening and discussing what they had heard? The morning after one of his grandchildren were born, Rob Parsons, a best-known Christian author and well-known to the work of Care in the Family, he wrote the newborn baby, a letter to welcome this little person into the world, but found himself sharing a couple of life lessons he thought might be useful. Sitting in his study, he thought about how he would love to have the chance to have a one-to-one conversation with each of them, perhaps about their wide-awake dreams, or when their dreams had been shattered, or friendships, their first job, their marriage, getting married. So he wrote them a book called The Wisdom House. Our life group studied some of the topics in the book, and at the end of each evening we discussed and recorded our own words of wisdom and life experience we would want to pass on to our young people when they encounter difficulties or situations in life, because you don't always have to learn the hard way. And this is what we did. We made our parchments with all our words, as you see on the screen. You can't read it, but they are personal words of wisdom. Now, I'm going to lose them all. I'm going to just tuck them underneath there so they don't fall out. I've never written a book to my children. I wouldn't know where to start, really. I haven't got the wisdom to do it. But I remembered when I was preparing this, in November 2003, both of our young adult children were struggling with significance for different reasons. And sometimes you feel a bit helpless in those situations. And so Rodney and I sat down and we wrote a letter to each of them, a letter of encouragement, reminding them of how proud we were of them. Because, you know, spoken words can so easily be lost or forgotten in difficult times. Jesus spent important time to listening, to blessing children, even when he was tired. This teaches parents, wider family, and school teachers that no matter how tired we are, children matter, and quality time with them is so important. Listening to them, and especially teaching them about Jesus. We are blessed in this village because we have a team from St. Leonard's, the Methodist Community Church. They're going into our schools with Open the Book, designed by the Bible Society. Sorry, can you move on from the scrolls? Never mind. They dress up and act out both familiar and unfamiliar stories from the Bible. The children are sort of third and fourth year juniors, and the second year infants pop across to the junior school to engage with them. And they discuss and reflect on the stories. And I thought, you know, sadly, many children will not have that opportunity to hear these stories and how they relate to children in the 21st century. I want to look this morning at the different ways Jesus taught. One of his favourite ways was to tell a story or a parable. This enabled him to reach people at different levels, those who knew how to and were willing to listen with their hearts, were able to pull deep meanings from those stories. Others, at least, heard a good story. He used the story to hold his audience's attention, and once told, frequently he would explain it. But other times, he used them to keep those who did not come with honest intent, his enemies, from learning things they would be held accountable for if they understood. He could give the teachings that brought most blessings only to those who listened with their hearts. And the disciples asked Jesus why he told stories when he talked to people. And he explains to them in Matthew 13:10, "You have been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, that others have not. People see what I do, but they don't really see. They hear what I say, but they don't really hear, and they don't understand." And that actually fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy in the Old Testament. Human ears may hear sounds, but there is a deeper kind of listening that results in spiritual understanding. Jesus also taught through sermons, as ministers do today. He tailored the material to his listeners using stories, sayings, instructions, warnings, promises. He never tiptoed around the truth during these sermons. Of course, he only had a short time to accomplish everything that needed to be done on earth. And he didn't waste time with jokes, watered down gospel, or anything else that might suggest his sermon was anything less than a matter of eternal life or death. There were also spontaneous informal teaching moments. For example, when he came across the woman being stoned to death, that took only one sentence when he suggested that the person who was without sin should be the first to cast a stone. And the men understood the message and went away. Another one of those informal moments was Mary and Martha when they had Jesus as a guest in their home. There is a tension between the sisters. Jesus gently tells Martha that on this particular occasion, she would be better to leave the kitchen, join Mary at his feet, and listen to him. Now, he wasn't undermining her, but teaching her that there would be many days when she could make fancy meals, but only a few in which she could sit quietly and learn from the Saviour himself. So many other different occasions when powerful lessons from Jesus came without planning. So what is he teaching us? To be ready to teach at a moment's notice, to help people grow in their faith, and grow up to be fully like Jesus. Jesus taught through action, by performing miracles to show that the Father is interested in everyone. He healed people no one else bothered to respect or worry about. He taught us how to treat others, bringing dignity to those who are overlooked, that everyone is equal in the Father's eyes. And this is our responsibility. The teaching methods of Jesus show the many ways we can teach others in our own lives. He was the master teacher, and our lives must mirror his in action and in truth. In our reading from Luke, the risen Christ walks along our two sad, confused friends, walking the 7 miles from Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus. Well, they were actually walking in the wrong direction, away from the fellowship of the believers in Jerusalem. And we are likely to miss Jesus, you know. Withdraw from the strength found in other believers when we become preoccupied with our dashed hopes and frustrated plans. Jesus asks them what they're discussing, and they don't recognise him. They knew a lot about him. They'd actually been witnesses to all the things that had happened in Jerusalem. They undoubtedly heard on many occasions the things that Jesus had testified about himself, that they weren't able to recognise him when they met him. But God didn't actually want them to recognise him yet, because as verse 27 says in the reading, then Jesus quoted passages from the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining what all the scriptures said about himself. In order to teach them lessons about trusting God's promises. You see, they'd not believed, Jesus wanted them to see that if they would only believe what the scriptures say about him, they would understand why he came and why he had to suffer. They would have known who he was. They, like many others, had missed the significance of history's greatest event because they were too wrapped up in their own disappointments and problems. They thought the Old Testament prophecies pointed to a military and political Messiah. Scripture gives testimony of who Jesus is. He uses it today through the power of the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of those who do not know him. And then Jesus reveals himself. It's getting late. He stays with Cleopas and friend. And it is as they have fellowship round the supper table and Jesus takes the bread and breaks it, their eyes are opened. And as soon as they recognise Jesus, he disappeared. So they couldn't depend on their ability to see him, but only upon taking him at his word. Can you imagine their excitement? Their encounter with Jesus had stirred up deep things within their hearts, so much so they had to share the news. And they turned round on that dark and dangerous road and rushed all the way back to Jerusalem. And I would ask, are we hungry enough to do the same? Are we moved to do the same? We also heard from Acts that when Apollos arrived in Ephesus shortly after Paul left, he made quite an impact. He passed on to others what he'd been taught. He spoke well with burning enthusiasm, interpreting and applying the Old Testament scriptures, and taught accurately everything concerning Jesus that he knew. It didn't take long for him to be noticed by Aquila and Priscilla. Although a natural, gifted and persuasive preacher, he knew only about John the Baptist's baptism of repentance. But the thing is, he was willing to be taught. And God uses Priscilla and Aquila, who are lay people, to gently give him the complete gospel and explain the way of God more accurately. So how did they go about this? First, they engaged with Apollos. They entertained him in their home. The best ministry often takes place inside the home. It's a valuable tool. Hospitality goes a long way in developing the types of relationships that allow significant ministry. Having done that, they discipled him. They filled in the blanks of his theology and experience. They led him to the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. Priscilla and Aquila had listened to sermons. They had studied their Bibles carefully, and they were able to disciple him lovingly. And then they enlisted the help of other Christians to encourage him to use his gifts. and finally endorsed him by writing letters of commendation to the disciples in Achaia. Could God use you to help a person become all God wants him or her to become? Dr. Charles Lake suggests that we prepare ourselves to empower other people with four tips. Know the gifts of the Spirit. Be observant and look. Be open to the Spirit's promptings and obey. When the Holy Spirit prompts us, we may have a personal story to tell that explains how our Christian life is fundamentally rooted in the reality that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, rose again, and is living and active. He interacts with us on a day-to-day basis and longs for a much closer, intimate relationship with him. To quote one writer to finish, the more we commune with the Spirit of Christ, the more life and truth we are exposed to and are able to understand. Sometimes he will speak through Scripture. Other times, he will find unique and special ways to reveal himself. Amen.